Hi, I'm Ray Bango, developer evangelist for Microsoft.
And I'm Chris Hallman, developer evangelist for Mozilla.
You know, Chris, we're at like a really exciting time in web development. You know, every modern browser has support for HTML5, CSS3, and advanced features of JavaScript. So we really have some tremendous power available to us. We have power to make some really compelling websites, make them shine. There's just so much flexibility that we can do now. And, you know, it excites me, but at the same time, I get kind of concerned because I think I can call it like this great divide. You know, I want to use the HTML5 features, but I also know that there are users who aren't on modern browsers right now, so they're not going to be able to take advantage of the cool, shiny buzz stuff that's in HTML5 and CSS3. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, we have the problem that there's legacy browsers out there. The good thing is that HTML5, by definition, was built to be backwards compatible. So all we have to do is tread safely and securely, and we won't leave those people behind. Yeah. And sometimes they don't have the chance to upgrade. So just saying that, like, well, they should upgrade is not really the solution.
That's true. And, you know, you look at what's out there right now, and you still have a number of users that are using the legacy browsers. I mean, there's IE6 through 8. There's Firefox 3.6, Safari 4.0, Chrome 10 and below, and Opera. And so those are users who want to continue to be able to use the web and use the browsers that they have. And we kind of have to think about how can we support them in some fashion to at least give them some really good experience. And in addition, it's not only non-modern browsers. Even the more modern browsers have their own issues, and mainly due to browser fragmentation. And so what I mean by that is that when you're dealing with modern browsers, you know, you're going to have multiple versions of those modern browsers. For example, we have IE9, we have IE10, we have Firefox, you know, like the latest is 13, but we have 12, 11, 10 all out there. And of course, we have Chrome with multiple versions and Safari. And Opera's in there as well. And if we look at this particular stat that I took, you know, I did the screenshot the other day that outlines the browser percentages. And I'm looking here, and for example, Internet Explorer 8 still holds about 26% of the market share. We have Firefox 3.6, which holds about 2%, and Opera 11's here at 1.4, and even Safari 4.0. And we have some what I call edge cases. Like, for example, we have what is this Chrome 18 Macthon Edition? You know, which is a Chinese. It's a Chinese version of the Chrome browser. So we have all these varying browser versions, which this is what I call browser fragmentation. And so each version will have their own level of feature support. So, for example, a great example is in Internet Explorer 9, you know, or Internet Explorer 10, we have drag and drop support, but in Internet Explorer 9, we don't have that. So, how do we accommodate for that? You know, how do we make sure that we're also taking into consideration these different browser versions that may not have all the features that we want to do? Well, to me, and I think this is and I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but I think this is the right way of doing it, and what everybody's been talking about is feature detection. All right? And what we're saying is, let's go ahead and actually inspect the browser for a specific feature to see if it's supported. And then if it's supported, then let's act upon that. And those features can be anything from an object, it could be a method, it could be a property. And if it's there, then we know that the browser supports that feature pretty well, and we can take advantage of that. So, you know, the alternative is, you know, and you'll get this a lot, is people say, well, why don't we just do browser sniffing? Why not just check the browser? I mean, what do you think about that, Chris?
It's flaky. It's impossible to really detect the browser because there might be software in between that changes the user agent string, like firewalls and these kind of things. And also, some browsers, for example, the Maxton browser that is right now out again and used to be like dormant for a few years, uses three different browser engines inside it and switches accordingly. So you can't even know if the Internet Explorer that you detected is really an Internet Explorer. It could be a search bot. It could be somebody who spoofs a browser to actually get into your site.
Yes.
So it's just not reliable. And the other problem we had in Firefox lately, and Chrome had before, and Opera had before, is that we now go two digits. So people check for, like, is it Mozilla, and does it have a number? And then that's the number that we're checking for. So a lot of people actually, after Firefox 9, then gave us code that was meant for Firefox 1.
That's crazy, yeah. I'm sure that's going to happen, for example, with Internet Explorer 10, because we have now the two digits. And so that actually poses a great segue into this, because basically what we're saying is, if you do browser sniffing, you're setting yourself up to have a site failure, basically. That's what I always like to say. And it's because you're basing your expectations on let's say a browser version, or even just a whole browser in general. I mean, there's things that can happen. For example, let's say a particular feature gets deprecated. in a new browser version. Well, if you're testing for just a browser, you may have unexpected results on your site, something that can actually break your site. Or if you're actually doing wholesale browser checking, saying, I just want to focus on one specific browser, you're eliminating a whole massive group of other users who might want to use your site. So browser sniffing, is not the right way of doing it. In fact, if we look at this code real quick, here's a great example. And so in this case, what we're saying is this was a very common pattern during the Internet Explorer 6 through 8 time frame because the add event listener method, which is the W3C standard for binding events, wasn't supported in IE 6 through 8. And so a lot of developers would use this pattern, which basically said if the user agent is not Microsoft, then let's use add event listener. And otherwise, they were going to use Microsoft's attach event method to bind the actual events. And this was fine, you know, and it worked. But what ended up happening was that in Internet Explorer 9, Microsoft added add event listener. There was a very strong push to make it more standards compliant. And so this could have completely unexpected results, because if you have code that's specific to a browser here, it may not, you may have some total different functionality. And so the better way of doing that, and here, let me actually show you what I'm talking about. So if I bring up the browser here, here's Internet Explorer, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up this one right here. This is called Events Bad. All right, browser, on there. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the IE Developer Tools, and what I want to do is, let me dock these real quick, and I'm going to change this to IE8 mode. All right, so in IE8 mode, if I click on this, I should expect that we're going to be using attach event. That kind of makes sense, all right? So if I click on this, boom, I see attach event. Now, that's what I would kind of expect to happen, all right? This was the pattern that most developers used when it was IE 6 through 8. But if I'm using Internet Explorer 10, even 9, I'm kind of expecting that I want to use add event listener. So if I go here now, back to Internet Explorer 10, I click here. Well, look what happens. I'm still using attach event. I mean, again, let's look at the code real quick so we can kind of see what's happening. Let me go here, and events bad. And if we scroll down, we'll see that we're saying if the user agent is not Microsoft Internet Explorer, then we'll use add event listener. And otherwise, let's use attach event. So we just used IE8, which made a lot of sense. But in IE9 and IE10, add event listener is supported. What would happen if Microsoft down the road decided to deprecate attach event? Your site would basically break in a modern browser.
Well, even worse, because attach event and the add event listener needs different code. You need a prevent default on add event listener. You don't need it on attach event. So you will fork your code for the future that is actually uncertain. So you test for one thing and actually expect another instead of just testing for the thing that you want to test for.
Right.
It's like jumping into a river, and instead of measuring where you want to jump in, you just say, okay, the average depth of that river according to Wikipedia is this, so I will be totally fine jumping into it.
Right.
And you're not. Most of the time, you hit your head.
Exactly. Well, let's not hit heads, okay? Let's try to avoid hitting heads. And that's a great way of kind of showing the next slide. This is the better way of not hitting your head. And so what we're actually doing is we're doing feature detection here. We're seeing if the add event listener method actually exists. And if it does, then let's go ahead and use it. Let's use it with the right parameters. Let's go ahead and have the right set of code. This is actually, to me, the best way of doing it. And I'm Christian, I'm sure you would agree with me on that. So what we're saying is, if you're going to be using a modern browser that supports add event listener, go ahead and use add event listener. And if you're using a non-modern browser that needs attach event, well, it's there for you as a fallback. So if we look at the code now, and I'll bring up this new file. This is events good. Notice that we're doing a feature detection here for add event listener. And if it's available, then we're going to go ahead and bind the event using the add event listener method. So now if I go into Internet Explorer, and I go to events good. And what I'll do is I'll set it to Internet Explorer 8. All right. And what I'm expecting is that when I click on this link, attach event should be used. So when I click on this link, sure enough, attach event comes up. All right. Now, if I go back into here and change it to Internet Explorer 10 mode, what I'm expecting is we're going to use the standard add event listener method. So click on that. Boom. Sure enough, it worked. All right. So now I'm expecting the right results based on the browser, based on a feature. And this is, I think, the most appropriate way to doing this. We're not targeting a browser and just doing a blanket statement that says, hey, this particular browser doesn't support a feature. Now we're actually checking to see if the feature exists and acting upon that. And apart from that, I mean, I do want to highlight, I guess I'm just doing a little cheering for our developer tools, because it's kind of slick that you can actually go in here and do different browser testing back and forth. So this is kind of neat. But anyways, going back to our slides. So, you know, but what happens when feature detection kind of looks like this? I mean, we did a very simple example, and I think it did drive the point home. But what happens when it looks like this? You're like, holy cow, let's look at this slide real quick. All right, this is a feature detection for FontFace. All right, and that's a lot of code. And sure, we can certainly write that, but I'm a big believer in time saving and not having to hack a bunch of code for the sake of hacking a bunch of code. All right, and not only that, on top of that, when you do feature detection and new versions of browsers come out, you know, we were kind of talking about this, Chris. You said you made a great point. You have to constantly manage that code because new things happen. So, you know, there could be new features come out, there are new attributes that might affect the feature detection routine. So you essentially become a manager of your own feature detection code to stay up with the new browser versions as they come out.
And you have to know the quirks of all the different ones. You might be on a Mac and you cannot find out all the quirks on a Windows machine unless you do some extra testing on the side. And you don't want to leave code behind that gets outdated rather quickly. And if anything moves fast, then it is feature detection in browsers, because there's new things coming into browsers all the time.
Exactly. And so it's a lot of work to manage that. And you can see by the amount of code in there that it's not a trivial thing. All right. So, you know, we could show that simple example of, you know, checking for an ad event listener. But this is hardcore stuff here. Now, what I recommend, and, you know, a lot of developers are using this now, is a feature detection library called Modernizer. And it's a great library. It focuses exclusively on feature detection for the newest, greatest HTML5, CSS3 type of features, and it's incredibly well supported. The team is constantly updating it when new features come out. They take into account the quirks that you were mentioning, Chris, and they have a dedicated team that's on top of things. Not only that, it's widely adopted. You look at the list, and it's a who's who. I mean, you have Twitter, the National Football League, Burger King, and a ton of other sites that use Modernizer all the time to make sure that they are doing the right feature detection for their sites. To kind of drive the point home of why I recommend this, and I think, Chris, you're going to agree with me on this, you can do this. And let's look at the slide again. You can see the code. It's massive, lots of stuff. Or you can do something like this. Now, I personally prefer that. What do you think?
Well, yeah, as it comes with a big feature set as well. Like, if you want to test for the next four drop shadow support, you have to write even more code. And in this case, you just say modernize a drop shadow, and or box shadow in this case. And the benefit of that one is that it's centralized and gets updated constantly. The trap is if people use Modernizer and use an outdated Modernizer. So you should make sure that in your build functionality or in your build script that Modernizer gets updated constantly as well.
Exactly.
So it's a bit of an overhead, but it's actually very worthwhile because you will not have to write code that you have to change every few weeks.
Exactly. So now, you know, the key thing is if you have a need for feature detection, then yeah, definitely use it. You know, one of the things that we'll never tell you to do is insert a library for the sake of doing that. All right. If you don't have to worry about feature detection for whatever reason, you know, then don't worry about Modernizer. At least you know it's a great solution though for you. And the other nice thing is that they do have a custom build mechanism. So you can go there and you can say, I want to search for border radius and I want to search for HTML5 video. And maybe those are the only two features that you want to actually do feature detection for, and the cool thing is you can do a custom build which actually minimizes the size of the Modernizer library for you. Actually kind of very slick.
Yeah, you could also do just a shell up front. You do a shell as your first load and do the Modernizer in there, test for all the things that you need in your app, and then just discard Modernizer on the subsequent pages.
Yep.
Because you already tested for it, you know it's there.
Exactly. So that's, you know, there's a lot of great functionality in here. Again, this is what we recommend for feature detection because it's going to save you a lot of time, a lot of maintenance, a lot of headaches. So the takeaway is that, you know, if you're going to be building cross-browser sites and, you know, you have to take into consideration the fact that you're going to have some users who don't have modern browsers. I know you all want to use these great features. I want to use them all the time. I mean, there's some really cool things out there, but you have to be responsible in doing that. And feature detection is the best way of doing that. It ensures that you will be able to target a specific feature as opposed to just eliminating a whole group of users just based on a specific browser, for example. And the other thing you want to do is take a look at Modernizer. Be very, you know, take a look at it very seriously. It's well maintained. It's the team is top notch, and we recommend it very well. And so, Chris, did you want to add anything else? Or?
Well, the last thing I want to add is that there is no one browser page. I mean, when you said like you want to build cross-browser pages, I think all of them are cross-browser.
Yep.
You have to make sure that you build for the future, not for the past. So if you're very excited about one browser at the moment, that might be the cool kid on the block right now, but it might be the boring kid later on and a new one comes out. So it's a very fast-moving market. And people can't change their browsers, so make sure you give everyone something that works and you don't expect people to have one browser or one piece of hardware. That just is not the web to me.
Awesome. Excellent point. So thank you very much for watching the video, and we hope you got some good stuff out of this, and talk to you soon.
See you soon.